Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift. I am he, and he is a Gabby Award-winning producer and one-third of the Morning Shift. They call me Squid Billy. My name is Bo Morgan. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. She's a tofu-tasting First Lady of Atlanta baseball while also being the Queen of Improv. A lot of titles for her, Miss Allie Mack. And back there somewhere, way creepily, Mr. Dylan Dylon Matthews. Good morning, everyone.
It was a creepy wave. I can confirm. He was spreading the icing on the cake. Got that back and forth motion, man.
You know what happens before the wave is he looks up and smiles because he's about to do it and he's very excited.
Can I just say, though, I think that most things Dylan does starts like that. He just looks That's up true. And smiles, lets it eat. I love the vibes early in the morning, man. Yeah.
I think you wake up with a smile on your face, Dylan.
Does.
Is that true?
That's our Dylon.
We'll go with that, sure. we'll let that be true. Sure. That's one narrative I am willing to run with.
Oh, man.
How has everyone's morning been? Because mine started off a little bit rough. I bring a water bottle in every single day, and this morning, for whatever reason, the cap was not on it. So I went to get in my car. And the whole thing dumped on my driver's seat. And I'm like, well.
Yeah, that ain't good.
No. So Grant happened to be taking the trash out at the same time. So he ran and grabbed a towel and a trash bag. And I had to sit on that driving into work. My car is currently airing
wait, out. Wait. Grant was taking the trash out of when you left for work?
Yeah, he was.
Jeez, what's he doing?
What'd he do? Did he forget to take it down last night? I mean.
Well,
go back to sleep, Grant.
He's probably sleeping now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I mean, but when I get up and get going, the dogs are up and moving. They got to go out. So he's like, oh, trash time. So.
Oh, man, my wife would lose it on me if she woke up every morning when I get up.
Smooth sailing for you so far, Bo?
Yeah, so far, I mean, I didn't have any technical issues for the first time. We had a nice storm last night, and nice big old lightning storm, a lot of rain, and I just saw a little lightning in the distance, and I'm like, ooh, might get a show this morning.
Nice.
Yeah, a storm at the beach is always pretty nice. All right, well, yeah. Let's talk about what has happened since we last got to chat with you. Drew Brees and Larry Fitzgerald were picked in their first year of eligibility as nominees for the 2026 Pro Football Hall of Fame. Ole Miss will be starting Trinidad Chambliss at quarterback when they play LSU. The Braves' 10-game win streak, it's over. Broken after a 4-3 loss to the Nationals yesterday. And Jaden Daniels was a limited participant in the Commanders' practice yesterday. So status unknown for Sunday. We'll see. We'll talk about it more throughout the show. And as far as the Falcons, A.J. Terrell still didn't participate yesterday with that hamstring injury. But another status we've been curious about this week, Parker Romo and Raheem Morris. You know, he had his weekly sit down with Dukes and Bell yesterday, and he had this to say about it.
We got to see, man. You got to get him out there and let him kick. You know, we kick today, we'll kick on Friday, and then we'll make the decisions. We've been taking those things all the way to the wire, letting those guys go. And to be honest with you, you know, quite frank, we got to let the guys go out there. You know, Romo had a great night on a Sunday night, and then we turned around and we didn't have a great night on a Sunday day at 1 in Carolina. So you got to go out there, you got to keep earning it, you got to compete, and that's the only way I know to do it, a kicker. Other than that, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I think my concern, and you've paid closer attention to this than I have for a long time, you know, the conversation always was, boy, when Matt Ryan's not the quarterback here, people are really going to regret some of the things they said about Matt Ryan over the course of his career. And it's held true. Mm-hmm. You've had different quarterbacks 5 straight years on week one. And he brought such a level of professionalism and consistency, and you knew what you were getting. I'm concerned that we're entering a gray area in terms of the kickers for the Atlanta Falcons. Are we going to go to this thing where it's like AJ Terrell's hamstring? We're going week to week where we're just going, not sure who it's going to be this week. That guy shanked one last week or one off the upright. I get concerned that we're just in this downward spiral at the kicking position.
I mean, I think you maybe people are understanding now why they were so hesitant to just outright cut Younghoe Koo, right? Why they just didn't, he wouldn't even make it. He wouldn't make it back to the facility if it was me. And, you know, that's that whole mindset. And that's not how you do it because there's just not, that was a nice bolt. There's just not that many good kickers out there. And it's why when people bring up guys like, you know, you heard it in the recap, Rodrigo Blankenship, I'm like, if he was what you people think he was at Georgia in the NFL, he would be on a roster right now. So, yeah, there's a really good chance of that. But the likelihood that you can bring somebody in and they can figure out how to hit, I don't know, 80-something percent. I mean, look, we don't know that Parker Romo isn't still the guy. And I have a feeling he'll be out there this Sunday. And you hope he can kind of settle in and get over whatever was bugging him last week and show.
Well, it seems we have some technical issues.
Yeah,
we might have jinxed it. I will say with Parker Romo and then Ben Salza signing on the practice squad, to me, right now, the kicker position kind of feels like the price is right. It's like, Parker Romo, come on down, baby.
Come on down. And then he's like,
I'll bet a dollar.
62.35. You know, no, I'm with you on that. And like I said, it just feels like one of those things where we're just in this spiral.
Yeah.
And I don't want that. I don't want to go, oh, he's 5'5". Oh my God, he's 0-for-2. Let's bring in more tryout. I was really hoping that Parker Romo, he's from Peachtree City.
Right.
I was hoping he'd just run with this thing. You know, the Younghoe Koo thing where he went to Georgia Southern, there's always that connection. And that's why I'm a little bit lighter on it than I think Bo is about the whole Georgia thing. You know, people just wanting people that they know. That's a lot of times how I feel like it is at kicker. Like you feel comfortable with the names you know. We talked about that in terms of offensive linemen during training camp. It's like, yeah, I get it. I mean, to an extent, but I just want somebody that can make kicks.
So obviously, this is a position that's been a little unsteady for us. But is there a different position that, if it was as unstable as this, you'd be more worried?
No. I mean, quarterback.
Right. That's a big one.
And I think that when you look at the way the kickers are, it's so unique.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so unique in sports. There's not another position like it where you just completely do something completely different than the rest of your team.
Right.
Like, you know, I mean, like, there's a closer in baseball, but there's other pitchers.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it just being a kicker in football is so unique in the way they have to go about their business that it can be such a mental issue. But there's one of them. You know, you've got a certain amount of guys, I think 45, 46 on game day. You have to have that one guy. It's not like you can put in a backup on game day.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Raheem comes out and we play the cut and he's like, oh, you know what? Hey, we're going to let him kick tomorrow and we're going to let him kick Friday and we're going to find out what happens. I'm like, man, I don't love it. I'm gonna be honest.
Have these been kind of like anomaly situations? You know, last year we had some issues with Koo. And then this year, of course, that other game that we had against Tampa, it came down to Koo as well. But is it kind of an anomaly that it is coming down to field goals, or is this pretty steady? Because it just feels like all of a sudden the light is shining on our kicker position.
I think it's – Minnesota's a little bit different. 5 field goals is not what you want to see. But I think it's pretty steady. I think the way you – I mean, Pittsburgh beat us last year by kicking 5 field goals in week one to start the year. So I think it's just how the NFL is. If you can make those kicks and make them from deep, make them from 50, make them from 60, whatever it may be, you can kind of – you can kind of start things off the right way and put yourself in different situations throughout the game.
So, obviously, when we reached our boiling point with Koo a few weeks ago, it was after, what, he had missed, you know, 2 more kicks or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Parker Romo goes 5-for-5 Sunday night. We talked about that and goes over to Carolina. What's the boiling point or what's the leash for Parker Romo now that he's back on the hot seat and we've got new kickers in, bringing them competition? What's the leash for Parker Romo right now?
I don't know that there is one.
Mm.
You know, I don't know. It's more like a collar.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think. And that's the thing is I'll be curious to see what happens this week because I don't know. I'm the first one to raise my hand. I don't know much about kicking. You know what I mean? So, and I know Raheem doesn't either. Zach Robinson doesn't either. Jeff Olbrich doesn't either. Like, are you looking at this competition where Parker Romo kicks one and then Ben Salz kicks one and then you like go break down the tape on their follow through? Or is it simply this guy made 5 of 6, this guy made 6 of 7, but he hit one from 55. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you're actually breaking it down and saying, well, that swing looks good. Mm-hmm. You know, like, who are you bringing in? Even Marquise Williams, who is our special teams coordinator, he's not a kicker. You know, he's not going to go break down everything that's going on. And I think that's where the confusion can lie for myself and some other fans, where you're like, I don't really know. You know, it's just, I don't want to get to game day, though, and find out. I'd rather know on Friday. So we'll see.
Well, would you rather have seen a change this week in the kicker, given that two field goals were missed last weekend? Would you rather have seen a change for Ben Sauls or someone else? Would that make you feel better going into this game or no?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen him. I haven't seen Ben Sauls. You know, and that's the thing I'm talking about. Like, when you break down the film, and Bo can weigh in on this as well, break down the film, like, I'm not looking to see if he made good contact, right? And I wonder if Raheem is, because I don't know what it's like to pick a kicker going into a game day like that.
I think you just look at the mental, the mindset. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. The whole kicking thing is weird to me, and I would feel more confident going with Parker Romo, even when you're missing two kicks, just because I don't want to go in there with my third choice. Mm-hmm. I mean, the further down the line we get, the less good you kind of let – you know, you feel good about this thing. I mean, these guys have been passed over. Now, this Sauls kid is a young kid, and he kicked at Pittsburgh, I think, and I don't believe he's ever even kicked in an NFL game, a regular season game, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, maybe that would be good. Maybe, you know, it's kind of like the youngin thing where he's like, well, he's too young to understand what he's doing. So,
hey, later in the show, I noticed this on Twitter last night. 18,000 eyes have been on one of Mike's tweets that he put out. Has to do with the Dan Orlovsky tweet that was going around yesterday.
Yeah.
So 7:40, we will tackle that. And coming up, yesterday we did cover the Falcons defense against the Commanders offense. Today, we're going to switch it, change it, rearrange it. That'll be next on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
6:23. Good morning. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning. We are The Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dylan. Good morning, Bo.
Good morning.
It's like Charlie's Angels around here. All right. I do want to remind you that the third annual Brown Grass Classic is coming up November 24th. Bo has been working really hard to get things lined up, and it's all to benefit Pets for Vets. So signups are live. Jump on Twitter, our X account, at 929 Morning Shift. The link is pinned to the top if you'd like to join us. Now, Sunday, big game at the Benz. Falcons, Commanders, Mike and Bo, kickoff pregame is at 11 a.m. this week. I want to go back to Raheem Morris's exclusive conversation with Dukes and Bell yesterday. There has been so much talk about the pistol. Let's hear Raheem's perspective on it.
You know, you're gonna play to Michael's strengths, and Michael did play in the pistol.
And, you know, the plaxon thing, you're 100% right. You know, like, you want to get more plaxons off.
Right.
You know, and you do get more plaxons off when you're able to run the football. The game the other day, that was a mess, right? That is not the way anybody wants to play football, and that's not where we want to go.
Mm. Yeah, I know, and we're going to break down all of these conversations around the pistol. Raheem's just kind of the first one to tee off on it. Mm-hmm. And you talked about it a minute ago. We'll break down Dan Orlovsky's comments and Mike Dutt. We got some Zach Robinson stuff to get to as well. But, you know, Mike did a nice job yesterday, I think, kind of asking about the pistol. Let's be honest. I would say 90% of the people asking about pistol don't really know exactly how to ask about the pistol. You just know that we want more play action, right? We want more play action passes. We like to see the bootlegs. We have said on this show the entire time, there's nothing inherently wrong with the pistol. It's the way we are utilizing the pistol.
Mm-hmm.
The pistol formation is fine. The pistol formation has a lot of pros to it. There is a reason why you have seen guys over the years use pistol and use it very effectively in wide zone offenses. You are handing the ball off front side of the formation. And you know, the problem is that there is no guessing when it comes to where the ball is going out of pistol once the play has started. There's no eye candy. There's no misdirection. There's no footwork in the backfield. There's no, I mean, Michael Penix is getting lazy in his footwork, which we'll cover throughout the show. There's just, and Bo can touch on this too, there's nothing inherently wrong with the pistol. It's the Falcons version of the pistol that is so maddeningly frustrating. And you hear Raheem kind of talking about it. He's like, yeah, want to get more play action? Sure. Yeah, we want to do a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. But that's just not exactly the, you know, the way we've gone the first couple of weeks. And it kind of is what it is at this point.
It's also funny when I find it funny when people pull stats about games and say, well, you only ran play action X amount of times. Yeah, because when you're down 17-0 with 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, you kind of throw out play action because it's not helping you. There's no guessing. So you have to take some of those stats with a grain of salt when it comes to that. It's like I saw a stat last night, and it's one of these charts, and it's kind of analyzing where teams rank in analytics of how they play against the run. And Washington, who is one spot worse than the Falcons as a run defense and total yards given up and yards and stuff, is considered run stuffing and along with getting pass rush. And the Falcon, and they're way over in this chart and really, really good. And the Falcons are middle of the road in pressure rate and run stuffing. Yet they are the better rushing defense as far as yards given up. So you have to be careful when you're going through this because they don't tell the whole story.
Yeah.
And that's the problem when everyone wants to be an analytics expert. Analytics are great, but are you watching the game and how it plays out and how that leads to some of these numbers because they can be misleading. So you have to be careful. You're 100% right. Everything you're saying about the pistol, I agree with. We've talked about it. I've talked about it with Arch. Talked about it with some other people in this league with personnel and stuff. Yes, you can get to vanilla, but be careful just reading a stat and saying, well, they're not doing this enough, and this is why this is happening.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of validity to what you're saying there. And you know, and I'll go back to what Raheem just said a minute ago. He's like, oh, you know, yeah, we'd like more play action. Well, if you're not running the ball well, nobody cares what the play action is. All right, you're just not going to pay attention to it. And like I said a minute ago, it's a lot of the way we're utilizing the pistol and the play action. You don't have to bootleg out of the play action. You know what I mean? Like, you go in the pistol, and when we run play action of the pistol, we run bootlegs. We run naked bootlegs. We don't even flash in front of the backside guy, which is something I'll get to Orlovsky's comments later. But it's just so bare minimum. It's so, like, vanilla. It's so – we don't have the boot. You can play action out of the pistol, and you can set up in the pocket, right? You can play action from under, and you can set up in the pocket. Shotgun as well. And all those things, when we talk about all of them coming together and the way Zach Robinson calls a game, I'm really low on the play calling right now and the play design. And it feels frustrating, man. And there's – me and Bo – get these titles of we sugarcoat everything with the Atlanta Falcons. Guys, if you have been listening to anything we've said, or at least myself, in the last couple of weeks, Zach Robinson's in over his head.
Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely in over his head, and it's frustrating to watch. There's no layering to what we are doing offensively, and it continues to kind of blow my mind.
I get – and I'm going to rant about that for a second because I really get irritated with that sugarcoating or – excuse me – there's a difference in telling people what we think is happening, and because we're not screaming and wanting someone fired, that means we're not holding people accountable. You can, how you do things is a real thing. And I'll go to this, and I know you're probably going to get to it anyways. Everyone was wanting somebody's head to roll every week with the offense. Somebody's head rolls. A guy, most people in this fan base, and I'll tell you, 3/4 of the media didn't know Ike Hilliard's name. And he gets fired, and now he's a martyr. And I loved Ike Hilliard. I actually, one of the few people probably in the city that on this side of the business that had a relationship with him, that has interacted with him. But guess what? This is what happens when guys aren't doing their job. And I'm talking about the wide receivers. If you're responsible for him, he's not a martyr. It's okay to fire people just because it's not the guy you want fired, because it's the only guy's name you know on the coaching staff.
Yeah, there have been a lot of topics that are just like super in the eye right now for every Falcons fan.
Yes.
And it was the pistol. It was Ike. And it's also been the move that they've made up at Flowery Branch, or decision they made up there, to move Zach Robinson down to the field rather than in the coach's booth during the game. And Raheem did talk to Dukes and Bell about that decision as well.
You know, a lot of it is, I wouldn't say the play calls too long. I would say, you know, the play calls in the National Football League are pretty tough. Any normal fan or us go up there and try to get some of those things out, they're going to be tough. You know, say a north right clamp, Z slit down a 18 structure, that's going to be tough for most people,
right?
You know, and then you're talking about the heat of the moment, you're talking to getting it out, you're talking about when you do have a radio go down, when something goes wrong, when something's a little off, you got to work. Waste time out. You can't have those things happen. So we got to fix those things. You got to be able to fix those things quicker. You got to be able to manipulate and move a little bit better. And you can't wait on those things. You got to find out ways to do it. And that's what we're doing right now.
First of all, the whole thing with the play call being too long is ridiculous to me. When you have long play calls, that means you have more depth in your offense. When you have just like, when you go to like college offenses and, you know, the whole thing where the offenses used to hold up the poster board at, you know, Auburn or Oregon or whatever it may be, and they're just, that's how you know what the play is. There's no depth to those. You know what I mean? It just means you have really good athletes and you want them to play fast, and your playbook is like 8 plays long. You know what I mean? So when you go up against NFL defenses, it's going to be longer. You're telling the wide receiver this motion has to happen before you run this route and this concept, and this is what the protection is, and the running back has to go this direction so the quarterback can have his eyes on the safety rolling this way. All that stuff has to be taken care of. So you can't just simplify it down to like 2 words. If you do that, that means you're dumbing down the entire offense. Maybe the offense needs to learn more verbiage. And I'm saying that as somebody who, like I just said a minute ago, very critical of Zach Robinson not having depth inside of his play call. So I'm not going to sit up here in this microphone, Bo, and say, oh, man, hey, play calls need to be a lot quicker. No, I wish they'd lengthen them out. I wish it took him 15 seconds to say the play, because that means there's more caveat, there's more nuance, there's more other moving parts inside of these offensive formations.
I think a lot of times what has been explained to me in this system that the Shanahans and McVays, this all came from the same, you know, family tree, basically, is that the thing that's not the play call is long necessarily, Mike, and maybe you can put some, you know, kind of thing on this, but it's more of everyone is getting their specific assignment the way it's done, like, you know, like, and it to the depth part where you're telling it more. But The biggest deal for me is what are we doing with Mike, where he doesn't have his own set of play calls? Is that a, you know, and that, I think some of that is being a younger quarterback only making a 6th start, but a lot of guys, these veteran guys, they'll have plays in their mind, or you see them have their little wristband or whatever, where if it's 3rd and 4, they know what play they want to call if there is an issue with the headset or getting the play in. They'll go to it. And I thought that there's been some weeks where we've seen Mike check plays at the line. I don't remember seeing that last week. It just looked it looked like the freaking Varsity Blues game last night. I mean, on Sunday after they went to the strip club, everything was off. No one was everyone was just out of it.
I do have a counter question for you guys on this, because we did see in this series quarterback Kirk Cousins, veteran quarterback, was having issues. There was a lot going on. So is there something, some kind of miscommunication happening? I know you say they're not too long, but there's got to be something.
Well, I think what he was having the most problems with is timing up the plays with the snap counts, which he was really struggling with. It's like, hey, TJ Watt knows we're going on 1. I need to go on 2 and hard count him. But how do I time up the formation to where Charlie Warner's not hitting the ball on the snap and also go on 2? I have to start Charlie Warner a lot earlier on the, you know, on the stuff like that, get him across formation, said hut, 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 you know, all those other things. A lot of moving parts. That was also week 1. I would just say that Michael Penix has got to be able to carry that load as an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, so does Kirk Cousins. And like I said, critical on Zach Robinson on a lot of things, play calling wise. But to me, that's something you can't take off his plate. He's either going to play quarterback in the NFL or he's not, and that's on him.
Yeah, and look, we can blame Zach for all the things we want. If the wide receivers aren't running the right routes, which we saw them not doing, and you say, well, how do you know that? You don't have the play call. 2 wide receivers should never be right on top of each other in a route tree, ever. And when the quarterback throws a timing route breaking out and both receivers break in, someone didn't do their job. It's kind of obvious.
Listen, I have a feeling on Sunday you are going to have a lot of thoughts after the game, so make sure to join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons flyover. That is your chance to call in and react after every Falcons postgame. It's brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons flyover immediately following every Falcons postgame this season. Coming up, one of Alabama's linebackers is being evaluated after suffering a neck injury. We'll talk about that. And we've got my Mac drop. Got a newish game. One of two of you have played it before.
Uh-oh.
It is going to be the Back and Forth Bowl. That is next on Sports Radio.
I'm scared.
92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Yes, it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift with Allie Mack, Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan hanging out behind the glass. Obviously, very big game this weekend. Georgia, Bama. We do have our very own Rusty Manziel joining us at 8 a.m. Rusty's so big time now.
I might throw hands with him. That's how I'm feeling. We're 48 hours, almost 48 hours out from the game. I might throw hands with Rusty.
Wait a minute. You're like the biggest Rusty Manziel fan there is.
That's all right, though. It's Bama Georgia week.
Not this weekend. You know what I
mean? Not this week, Rusty. Not this week, big dog.
Well, he will be in here at 8 a.m. with us. Now, scary news here. Alabama linebacker Jamarian Latham continues to be evaluated at a hospital in Birmingham after suffering a neck injury in practice on Tuesday. So Kalen DeBoer said Jamarian has full feeling and motion, which is huge relief, but we'll know more in the next 48 hours.
Yeah, it's scary stuff. Like you said, it's happened a couple days ago, and he was rushed to the hospital all the way to Birmingham. Like, there's... Tuscaloosa is a small town, but they do have a hospital. But considering the injury, he was taken straight to Birmingham. They dealt with it up there. Kalen DeBoer updated it yesterday and said that he was in constant communication and that Jamarian Latham told him to tell the team that he's doing well. So all things considered, that's definitely good news. But, you know, Jamarian Latham, it's just scary stuff, man. Just mm-hmm. It's like all of a sudden you hear something like that and you're like, I don't even care about the game or anything like that. So it just kind of is what it is at that point.
Trinidad Chambliss will start at quarterback again for Ole Miss in Saturday's showdown against LSU. It's going to be his third straight start. He is in place of Austin Simmons, who's dealing with an ankle injury.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I watched Austin Simmons. Big fan of the way it looks. He is like, and you guys know my favorite college player of all time was Tua Tagovailoa. He looks just like that. Like, that's how he goes about his business. Wears the same number. He's a lion. He's left-handed. All the stuff. He's also very young. But Trinidad Chambliss is a guy that once you saw him, Bo, take over this offense at Ole Miss, you're like, this is a dude. This is an absolute dude. He's a some Valdosta State fans will remember him. He actually played for Ferris State and played Valdosta State in the national title game and did really, really well. He is an absolute dog in the way he plays quarterback. I think he operates that offense a little bit more of a Jackson Dart feel to it. And it's scary. If you're LSU, scary stuff, man, because this dude is not playing around.
Well, I heard Lane Kiffin asked about this, and he goes, really? I didn't know I named a quarterback yet. That's interesting. I haven't really said who's starting, but that's fine. I'm sure. I guess so. And look, that's Kiffin. That's how he does. These coaches get real, and all coaches get irritated if they haven't announced it and they're told that so and so is starting. They're like, no, I haven't done that. But that is the report, and I thought Pat Forty nailed it yesterday. Seemingly, Lane Kiffin can just plug and play any quarterback he wants these days, which is pretty good because it's not always been that way for him, and he's built something there. I know that the hype train starts rolling around Lane Kiffin's name. I just don't see. I don't know if he would leave Ole Miss at this point. I'm not sure what sense it would make for him. It's a big Power Five program that he can win at. And there is pressure, but there's not that pressure. You know, like the Alabama, the Florida, the Tennessee, the Georgia-type pressure.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that really goes, too. And you know what's funny is when I hear that Lane's like, I haven't named a starting quarterback, I'm immediately like, okay, if I'm Whit Weeks, if I'm his daughter's boyfriend, are we FaceTiming at night? Is she at his house? And do I get to the point where he's in the background? I'm going, hey, Mr. Kiffin, hey, who's playing quarterback this week, dude? Like, sending my girlfriend to practice. Sending my girlfriend to practice, going, hey, can you go check and see what's happening out there?
First off, I have a feeling she's not living at home with dad. And second, I mean, he makes enough money to furnish an apartment for her somewhere. The second thing, I mean, Lane's got to view her as a turncoat right now. He's like, I ain't telling that traitor anything. In fact, I've changed the locks. I'm making a couple $1 million a year if I'm Lane Kiffin. I'm like, for that week, we have a locksmith. He have changed the locks, and you will get back in after the game only if we beat LSU.
He's just probably bringing him orange slices to practice.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Very cute.
Big week.
All right, Florida starting quarterback DeJon Johnson is undergoing knee surgery. His injury happened in the game against Miami. Billy Napier confirmed he's going to be out for the season.
I mean, I'm not laughing at someone being injured. I'm laughing at just what this season is turning into. I saw a stat yesterday that said Florida has a 3% chance to go 1-11 and lose out, and they have a 5.7% chance to actually become bowl eligible. So their season could be, I mean, they basically are, I mean, it is unbelievable how bad this has turned so quickly. But Napier's been here before, and this is a team with a little bit of depth. So hopefully the DeJon Johnson injury won't be one that really cripples them. But it's a much-needed off for Florida this week. And you talk about needing to simplify stuff. DJ Lagway looks more lost than Michael Penix did on Sunday. So,
Auburn receiver Horatio Fields is sidelined indefinitely with a broken foot. By the way, someone needs to do top five, best five football names, because we've already said Trinidad, DeJon, and now we've got Horatio.
Like, don't forget Jamarian.
There you go.
There you go.
Jamarian as well. All right.
Full circle.
So Coach Hugh Freeze said the injury happened in practice on Tuesday.
That's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, especially when you see how explosive that offense can be and how thin they are behind Singletary and Cam Johnson at the wide receiver position. So just kind of is what it is. We'll see what comes of that. But, yeah, unfortunate.
The future format of the college football playoff remains undecided after the management committee met yesterday at Big Ten headquarters. So the meeting lasted for 4 hours, but apparently they only spent 20 minutes talking about the format for 2026 and beyond. They have a little bit of time to decide, though. They have to let ESPN know by December 1st if they want to expand the field beyond 12 teams.
Well, they're going to have to get the graces of the ADs and stuff. Well, and I'm not sure if the ADs were a part of that. But we don't need 16 teams. It's going to happen. We don't need it. It's just a money grab. We can't even – there's – it feels like there's just too much control at times from the schools and the TV, and really this all coming from these TV channels, these TV stations, because the networks are controlling what the sport is, and it's watering down the sport. I don't need 16 teams in a college football playoff. I don't need – not to mention, I don't need a college football playoff that starts in mid-December and ends in February. I mean, what are we doing at that point? So I'm against the expansion, but it'll happen, I'm sure, because that's where the money is.
So we are pausing Throwback Thursday trivia today because Bo's remote, and if there's a delay, it's just going to be frustrating for everyone.
Smart by you.
So that will go on next week. Today we're going to play the back and forth bowl. So, Mike, you were not around when we played this at SEC Media Days. Basically, I did not mean to do that.
Okay.
An unintentional shot.
I just keep catching strays in this group.
Some people work on vacation.
Yeah.
So Abe was in, and I basically gave Bo and Abe a category, and they would go back and forth until one would run out of answers. Bo, you remember how to play this?
Yeah.
Are you sure? It doesn't sound like you're very confident.
I was going to say,
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see how this round goes. We're just going to go back and forth until one of you cannot name one, and then whoever can't name one is the loser of that round, right?
Okay. All right.
All right. The first category is Falcons quarterbacks, past and present.
Okay.
Mike, you start.
Matt Ryan.
Kirk Cousins.
Michael Penix.
Let's see. Chris Chandler.
Desmond Ridder.
DJ Shockley.
Marcus Mariota.
Chris Redman.
John Parker Wilson.
Bobby Hebert.
Dave Archer.
Steve DeBerg.
Steve Bartkowski.
Chris Miller.
Michael Vick.
Jeff George.
I think I'm done.
All right.
I think I'm done.
Byron Leftwich.
Nobody wanted to say Taylor Heineke.
Joey Harrington.
I should have said Joey Harrington. Joey Harrington.
Danny Cannell. Doug Johnson.
All right.
I mean, we went through them.
That's up his alley.
He's trying to get some extra credit here. All right, Bo, you won that round. All right, Bo, you're starting this next round. It is professional teams with birds as mascots.
Oh, wow.
The Falcons?
Yep. Any sport.
Ravens.
Eagles.
Cardinals.
Seahawks.
Blue Jays.
Orioles.
Man.
Dylan's about to buzz you.
Dang it. Give me the next one you were thinking of, Bo. Do you have one else lined up?
No, I didn't. I was
I was like, damn, I've got nothing.
The ducks a thing? The ducks are
yeah, good one.
Are they a
Although
bird?
She did say professional.
I did say professional.
Yeah, well, no. The Anaheim Ducks.
That's good,
there you go.
Good point.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, next category is, Mike, you're starting this one.
This is not a good game for me.
This will be a good one.
All right, let's go.
Foods that would be terrible as Gatorade flavors.
Hamburger.
Brisket.
Pizza.
Macaroni and cheese.
Ew.
Mayonnaise.
Baked beans.
Potato salad.
Spinach.
What'd you say?
Spinach.
Oh, broccoli. We can keep going for days on this one.
Going through like a Thanksgiving dinner. Man.
I mean, it's where your brain goes. Corn casserole.
Beef broth.
Ew. This would be better off if we did something that was like, what do you want to be a Gatorade flavor? It'd be like, dude, pumpkin chiffon pie.
Tell
like,
us a lot about you.
Yeah, I'll take the L on that one.
All right, let's go for one more real quick. Super Bowl halftime shows.
That have happened.
Okay. Yeah.
Rihanna.
Both. Dr. Dre.
Justin Timberlake.
Britney Spears.
Bruno Mars.
Michael Jackson.
Maroon 5.
Let's see, Aerosmith.
Oh, that's who I was going to go with. What about, was it 50 Cent? Who was it that did a couple years of 50 Cent and the Rappers? I can't remember who exactly was the headliner, but yeah, that was such a
That was Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
I think Dr. Dre was the...
Was he the headliner?
So Bo already said that one.
Oh, he did?
Yep.
I'll show myself out.
The Who, Prince. I mean, come on.
Shout out to both of y'all. Shout out to both of y'all for not saying Kendrick Lamar. I appreciate both of y'all for that. Both of y'all got my respect.
Well, congratulations, Bo. I think you are the winner of the back and forth bowl there. Coming up, we've talked a lot around Zach Robinson, what we think he is thinking. Now let's hear from him. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.